to live righteously. It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall, and joining us here at the house of the party, yeah, me and Rob, we're doing,
yeah,
this thing.
Yeah.
It's Jason Lyle Black, quotation, the backwards piano man. We'll talk about that as well, but you may have seen
sing
Jason before.
Sing me a song of a backwards piano man.
Wouldn't it have to be song me a sing, because it's backwards?
Well, there you go.
That's right. I don't want to get technical.
Dyslexic,
though.
That's
stuff.
Dyslexic.
Ah! So what's backwards? Jason Lyle Black, we'll get to know all that you do. People would probably know you most from what? If you had to say, people will know me from...
YouTube.
Yes. YouTube. Yep. The wife of the party talked about an Up video. Is that, would that be your,
yes,
most popular?
Yes, so my Up and Frozen videos are the ones that people know best. I had, they're both family, Disney family stories. So the Up one was with my grandparents, my actual grandparents in real life, who are in their 80s, and they, I wrote the music for them and produced that video.
Yeah, it's
and
great.
It was all over the world, BuzzFeed, Mashable, Good Morning America, Today Show, everybody, it was awesome. And then the Frozen video that I did with the Piano Gal, who's a YouTuber here in Utah as well, she is awesome. We did that as a dueling siblings skit, and we ended up going and performing live in Tokyo as a result of that video.
You went to Tokyo on that?
Yeah.
Whoa.
It was awesome.
What was the event?
It was an event created in part for us. It was a flash mob, and they built it around that video. So we played Frozen,
wow,
in a mall outside Tokyo, and it was a Fuji TV produced show called Assembly of the World's Something Billion People. And yeah, they had us on and about 15 Japanese musicians in,
jeez,
the show. So,
wow.
And then the other, that's part cool, of the show was they had to run across like 10 lanes of freeway traffic and not get hit,
yeah,
in true Japanese television,
exactly, right,
and
form.
The, yeah. And they're wearing a helmet with a spider inside,
yeah,
of it.
The whole thing.
Who contacted you for that?
So that was the producer from Fuji Television. They saw the video.
Wow.
And it was all over the world. It had made one of the major news sites in Taiwan, I think it was.
Yeah.
Like, essentially, like the Huffington Post of Taiwan or something.
Yeah.
A big, big cultural site. And I think that's how YouTube Japan shared it. So the actual YouTube corporate.
Yeah.
And anyway, yeah. And so it was about 3 weeks after the release of the video, we were first contacted by that producer. And then
very
it took
cool
a couple months to put the event together. And they brought us out.
Did they pay you on top of...
Yeah,
having you go out there.
Yeah, so it was
Mr. Robbie's turning
oh
green.
My
oh
dang.
No, it was
like, oh, I need to go viral.
It was a trip to Japan and a booked performance. It was awesome and it was so fun. I just, that was my first time to Japan and now I want to go back.
Did you go to Disneyland out there?
No,
he was busy. He was on, yeah, a Fuji Film TV show.
Yeah. I have been on Japanese TV actually about 5 or 6 other times.
Do you speak Japanese?
No, but,
okay,
but these were all, you know, just
okay
via video. This was my,
okay,
first time actually live in Tokyo, so that was
awesome. We've, yeah, gone way down the rabbit hole already. So, Jason Lyle Black,
rewind
my
it back.
First question is, do I have to call you Jason Lyle Black or can I just call you Jason? Because it seems like
Jason's
a name.
Fine. Yeah.
But it seems like a name and it flows so well that it has to be... Well, we're sitting down with Jason Lyle Black right now. Like, I can't just be like, we're sitting down with Jason right now.
Yeah.
It has to have the whole thing. And there's too many Jasons.
Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of Jasons out there. Yeah, and that's why Jason Lyle Black, you know, is a little more distinctive than Jason Black. I think there's like a wrestler that's called Jason Black.
Oh, really?
I definitely don't wrestle. So
no.
that was why I went.
Check out the picture associated with this episode. You'll understand his own self-deprecating joke. I want to ask, though. So before all this, let us get to know you. Are you a lifetime member of the church? Are you a member of the church?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So grew up in the church, served a mission in Kentucky.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah.
And the Kentucky mission is not really Kentucky, right?
How do you mean?
Isn't it?
Which mission though?
Some part
oh
of it?
Yes. Kentucky Louisville. So we had some Kentucky. We had some Indiana and some Illinois in our mission.
Okay.
So yeah,
when was that?
That was cool. That was 06 to 08. So,
okay.
Yep, and I was Spanish speaking. Did both English and Spanish work out there.
Spanish,
sweet,
Kentucky,
so,
work.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's actually a lot of Hispanics out in Kentucky. It,
yeah,
was a good time. It was fun.
So,
and then of course you have to learn, you know, Kentucky English as well.
Do they call it KFAC? KFSA?
Oh.
KFC.
I don't think any of the Hispanics really went
kidding
to KFC.
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
It wasn't really.
Came with the Pollo Loco.
Yeah, KFC out there is just, it's just aggrandized Taco Bell.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, there's plenty of good Mexican restaurants, you know, places, yeah, out there. So,
lifetime member, then, you said.
Yeah.
Where are you from originally?
So, I grew up in the Bay Area, California.
Okay. Oh.
So, Livermore, specifically in the east part of San Francisco.
Okay.
And yeah, I've lived out in Salt Lake now for quite a few years and went to BYU, so that brought me out to Utah first. And then now I'm in Salt Lake, so it's
a what being a San Francisco, or I'm sorry, Bay Area,
yeah,
I always just similitude of each other, being a Bay Area kid, was it always, oh man, I want to go around and be around more Mormons? Is that why BYU was attractive? Or was it just mom and dad said...
It's interesting you say that, because I think that was a big draw for me to BYU. Obviously, the culture in the Bay Area is a little bit different than the culture down in Provo. And even though I'm kind of happy to be in Salt Lake now, it was a good thing at that time for me to come to be in Utah and to be at BYU. It was nice to have the connection more the church environment coming out of the Bay Area.
How big is the church in the Bay Area? I know Southern California.
It's a lot bigger
church
down there.
Is pretty big, but
it's still pretty big. I mean, we had, Livermore, where I grew up, that was a stake. We have five wards in Livermore. I mean, I don't know, the city's, I think at the time, was maybe 80,000 people or something.
So a pretty good showing.
I mean, it's still, the church is definitely bigger there than like in the East Coast. There's a lot more members. I had, in my high school, you know, we had probably a couple dozen members, whereas I know my friends from the East Coast, it's like you were the only member in your school. So yeah definitely not Arizona, not Utah, but not too small.
So you came here at BYU for what? Hopes of finding a wife? What were you studying?
So I was, it took me a while to figure out, actually. I landed in business. That was what I ended up studying.
Oh, good.
And I, you know, it's funny looking back at music, you know, it wasn't the right thing for me. I think I had too much love of kind of the comedic side of music to, you know, they don't offer a comedy major to my knowledge. Of course. I love music too, but I just, that was never something that really had appealed to me to be in the formal kind of classical music program there. So yeah, I ended up in the Marriott School and studied accounting specifically, but I loved being there, and that business education, of course, as you guys
that's
know,
that's going to be amazing for
really
you.
Really good for,
I wish I took business classes.
Yeah. I'm glad I didn't. I'll find someone and hire that person. Yeah. If ever there was something to happen for me, I'd be like, Jason, and Lyle Black, you studied business, didn't you?
Yeah.
Here, take this. So then at what point did you go, maybe not accounting so much and maybe a little bit more music?
So there were a couple points, actually. I my first point of that was actually when I was in school. I was kind of like, you know, I was starting to gig quite a bit and had, you know,
to
had some...
gig? Is that what you said?
To gig, yeah. Okay. So I was doing some shows. I was starting to accompany parties, that sort of thing. And, you know, I was thinking about it. And, you know, I can't remember all the details of why, but somehow I ended up just sort of sliding over and I ended up in the accounting world. And I was still kind of doing it, but it was just on the side, mm-hmm. you know, as a hobby, I guess, professional hobby. And then it was 3 years later when I'd been a CPA for a couple of years, and it was just like, you know, this is not where I'm going to be in 30 years.
So you actually went into the business.
I was in it, yeah. Oh, so okay. I actually worked on, you know, big, I mean, I had million-dollar clients, you know, I mean, I was on the, you know, accounting teams for these companies and did a lot of travel actually around the U.S. with different clients and... Yeah, I worked in big business, and then it was, you know, I learned a lot too about business.
Yeah,
there.
That's good.
And I think it was good for me to kind of realize where I definitely wanted to be, because I had kind of dabbled in music professionally in college, but then actually working in the corporate America, it was like, okay, you know, that's not the right fit for me long term, and that was what ultimately pulled me back to my roots in music. It was like, it's time to pursue my passion. I'd always had that drive to kind of be an entrepreneur and do my own thing, and and so, yeah, I made the switch and focused a lot more on YouTube, started investing a lot more into my videos, kind of changed career. And next thing you know, all the doors started opening that, you know, because of doing that.
Was there a fear? I know among a lot of artists, and parents are the ones that perpetuate this fear where it's like, well, that's nice, Jason Lyle Black, but how are you going to support your family, or how are you going to be able to, you
support
know,
a wife.
You know, have kids, or, you know, have food on the table at all
if
you decide to be an artist.
Absolutely. And I actually think that fear was a big part of why I didn't do it until, you know, later.
Until after your CPA.
After the CPA.
Oh. When did you jump into that? Is that 2 years ago?
So I started the shift out about 2 years. Was it about 2 years ago? Not quite. No, let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah, just under 2 years ago was when I actually got back onto YouTube, because I had been on YouTube years ago and I'd made a lot of videos. People don't know that, but I'd made quite a few videos, dozens of videos, and just hadn't, you know, gotten that, you know, you got to have that big break. Mm-hmm. And
what
and
were
so
some
I
of the other
took,
videos that you did?
Oh, I did a lot
they
of...
They were terrible.
I did a lot of covers of videos. You know, I did Taylor Swift songs, and I did, I don't know, I mean, Maroon 5 and Bruno Mars and stuff like that. I did a couple comedic ones, you know, some backwards piano, stuff like that. And then eventually, I just kind of got frustrated, and I actually quit making YouTube videos for a couple of years. And that was when I was a CPA, and I just stopped making videos. And then, you know, again, it was after a couple of years of doing that, and I was still, you know, I do some gigs on the side here and there, but I just, that wasn't my main thing anymore. And then it was like, you know, this is really, you know, it was actually, I had an epiphany, and I had an epiphany after working like, you know, 100 hours a week for, you know, a couple of weeks with the firm. And it was just like, what am I, you know, what am I doing? Yeah. And I realized that it was time for a change. And then literally that was from that point of change. I started work on the Frozen video, the concept for that, just a couple months later, because that video was quite a bit of planning too. That Frozen video was not an accident.
Did Up come first or Frozen?
Frozen.
Frozen came
first. Yeah, Frozen was first. And that video it was the first video that I had done a story for, like a full-blown, you know, story skit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where the idea first came from, other than I remember, you know, we were hoping to get on the Ellen show, and I'd been on the show before, so I was hoping to get back on.
How'd you get on it the first time?
They saw one of my YouTube videos, called, invited me on. Cool. And so I remember sitting down with my roommate, and I was like, all right, you know, if I want to get back on the Ellen show, and he's a marketing guy, I was like, you know, what do you do to get on the Ellen show? He's like, well, you probably need to appeal to her audience. So we thought through that, and then thought, well, let's maybe Frozen. That'd be a good way, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then I had the idea, and then I knew the piano gal from the news. Mm-hmm. I'd seen her on KSL. And so I reached out to her and said, hey, I'd love to do a video with you. And so we got lunch at In-N-Out, and, you know, we're chatting, and I was like,
did you have to wait in line for an hour and a half at the In-N-Out?
Can't remember.
Right? Probably did, depending
probably
on which one you
American
went to.
Fork one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So you're there a good 2 hours.
You're there a while, yeah.
You had the whole story written and produced and published by the time you got your animal-style fries or whatever that is. I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, that was what kind of started it. And it was funny. I remember sitting across the table from her, and I was like, you could be my little sister. Like, we look enough alike. I was like,
Do you have siblings?
I'm the youngest. I'm the youngest of four.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, yeah, I never had the younger siblings. Yeah. I was like, you could be my little sister. And so that was kind of what inspired it. Anyway, I worked on the story. You know, that video, I actually wrote four different versions of that story before we settled on the version we used.
Cool.
And it was her birthday party first. It was all of these different things. And we just simplified it and got it to this basic, cute little story of two siblings at the piano, just kind of having a little duel. And that's what.
And people can find a link to that video at theculturalhall.com, where we'll post it. So if you have not seen it and you go, all right, listen, what is he talking about? You can check that out. View it there at theculturalhall.com. So then came Up. So you had this success with Frozen, and you're like, well, okay, Up.
Yeah. And there was an in-between, actually. The in-between was the Taylor Swift one that I did. And so after Frozen, I had the idea for doing a Taylor Swift mashup. And that was also a story. That one didn't take off as much. It got a few hundred thousand views, but didn't have the millions that we had with the others. And,
pocket change, right?
You know, we're still maybe hoping it could still take off. You know, those are classic Taylor Swift hits. But so I did that one. And that was actually my cousin that I put in that video. Cast her as Taylor Swift. She was 16, kind of looked like a, you know, Taylor Swift doppelganger, if you will. And so then that one was released in July, I think it was. And it was actually the week we shot that video. I was rehearsing with my cousin for it, and I thought, you know, I want to do a story of a Disney couple growing old together to classic Disney songs. Mm-hmm. And as I was thinking of the idea, I almost started to cry. I was like, this would be so touching. Like, I visualized it in my mind. And so then I approached my friend Eric Thane, Celadora Studios, who'd done some YouTube videos for me, and Eric knows viral stuff. And I was like, Eric, what do you think about this idea? And I told him I wanted to have Up, and I wanted to have, you know, a couple of these other songs and make this story. And he was like, just stick to Up. He's like, that'll make it that much more compelling. Just do Up. And so, and that was great advice. And so I ended up going on that and working on the story. I approached my grandparents, and bless their hearts, they are well into their 80s. They are private people. They do not, you know, they do not crave the spotlight at all. And in fact, their names have, you know, I kept their names out of the media just to protect that. And I said, you know, what do you think? I said, I need a couple in their 80s to do this video.
Yeah.
You are my first choice if you'd like to, you know, be cast for the role. And they thought it would be a lot of fun. And so we spent a couple, you know, weeks and stuff, you know, rehearsing with them and developing the screenplay. And then Eric shot the video. And anyway, but that, it was amazing. I mean, that video just, it took off like a rocket.
Yes.
Literally 24 hours after the release, my phone was ringing off the hook from New York and LA, Chicago, from, you know, national media wanting to get the story. And it's just, it's so cute because my grandparents, I mean, they can't go to the store now without being recognized by people, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, you're the couple from the Up video.
You know what I love is how that conversation probably went about when he's talking to his grandparents. He's like, listen, I want to put you on YouTube. MeTube? What?
What is this tube?
How? So what do we do? I just want you, you know, to be a part of this video that I'm doing. Wait, where are people going to see it? What time is that on? No, you guys, just here. We'll leave your names out of it. Fine. Let's just be a part of the video. And then it, like you said, takes off. That's awesome.
It did. And it's been so cute for them. They, you know, again, totally not into the spotlight.
Yeah.
But I told them, you know, they served a few missions together. And I, you know, now they look at it because it's sometimes, you know, it's a little... They get a little sheepish about the fact that, I mean, everywhere they go in public, you know, they're
where do they live?
They live in Davis County.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, they're here in Utah. And, you know, but I told them, it's like, you know, Grandma and Grandpa, it's like you served another mission because they have now touched millions of people around the world with their story. I got letters from Indonesia and from the Philippines and,
wow.
I mean, from like universities saying, we want to interview your grandparents for this, you know, story on love or whatever. And, you know, of course, they shared a lot of their story through me with the Huffington Post and with Yahoo and stuff like that. And, but yeah, it was kind of cool. So we basically look at it as, you know, they got to serve another mission at, you know, late into their 80s through YouTube.
So what's the plan? Where it seems like now more and more, I mean, you mentioned the Piano Gal, and obviously that came about after the Piano Guys.
Yeah.
And there it continues to be a little bit more and more saturated, where it seems like a lot of YouTube videos almost are to the point where it's like a one-off, like one-hit wonders.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you'd get with the radio, you know, the band that played this song, and then you never hear from them again. Like
Savage Garden.
Yeah. What's the plan for you so you're not like that?
Yeah. So that was actually my worry after Frozen, is it's like, well, if I don't have another hit, everybody's just going to look at it as like luck.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, tried the Taylor Swift and that worked well, but you know, not as well. Thankfully the Up one did take off. And so, you know, I've had that too. I've actually got another one in the plans for this year. It's, we will see when the release would probably be in late summer or fall. I've got, you know, the album coming out. I've got, you know, working on trying to prep for a tour, you know, a couple years out. And so there's a lot of things in the works. But I do have another Disney Family Story planned. I keep them very under wraps until they come out because the idea is the core of it. You know, that up duet, that was the idea is what made that work. But separate from that, for me as a performer, it's the musical comedy. That's what separates me because I look, there's so many great pianists out there already that have really good shows. Of course, John Schmidt did before the Piano Guys. And now, you know, the Piano Guys, you know, huge stage show. You've got William Joseph that's got an awesome stage piano show. I've seen it open for him a number of times. You've got these great acts out there. And so for me, it's really more like kind of Victor Borga, where it's a combination of piano and musical comedy. So I actually have some stand-up routines that I do at the piano, you know, with keyboard, and I'm writing more of them. And so the show is still music, but it's kind of to be that mix. My goal eventually, what I aspire to, is it's Jimmy Fallon meets, you know, a concert pianist. But that's the
cool.
So it's still piano. It's not just a comedy show, but it's got that element of kind of the, you know, the Late Show or whatever, you know, the Tonight Show, that vibe.
Yeah.
It's kind of the fun.
Do you know Victor Borga, Rob?
I don't. I need to go back and look at some of the stuff.
My favorite thing about him, and I can't think of what they're, it's not quotation marks, but he does the, like the question mark. The
punctuation, yeah.
That's what it is. Punctuation is the word I was missing, where he goes, and the whole, I don't know. You have to see it. If you don't know, tell you what. In addition to the videos that we've shared with this, I'll put up a Victor Borga one because we used to watch it with my grandpa all the time.
Yeah,
loved it.
He was the undisputed king of concert piano meets comedy. And you know, from what I have seen, there are lots of people that do maybe similar things. I'm not the only one that plays upside down on the piano, you know, stuff like that. But to really combine it into a show that's a classy stage theater show where it's comedy meets the piano. He's not been, you know,
matched
since then. And that's really kind of the goal that I
have. You're going to keep the seatbelt bit? Because the seatbelt bit's awesome, too.
I do remember the seatbelt. That would be fun. Put that one in.
Gets like an opera singer to stand up and sing with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he plays the introduction, the prelude, and then she starts singing. And he falls off of the piano bench. And then he flips up the piano bench, flips out a seatbelt, puts the bench back on, and buckles himself into the seatbelt for the remainder time as she's singing. It's just awesome.
Well,
that whole, do you know Keacher Jane? You need to get her for your next Taylor Swift video.
I don't.
Yeah, previous
she was
guest
in the news as Taylor, the Taylor Swift to look like. Yes.
I'm trying to make connections over the podcast. There you go.
She went on Steve Harvey, right?
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
And we interviewed her, and she would be a great person to collaborate with.
Oh, she would.
And then thinking about comedy, Steve Solberg, who was another
I did a show with him down at Gezo Hall last fall.
Cool.
It was fun. Yeah. I'd love to see Steve again. Jeremy Warner from Studio C was there as well.
Cool.
That
was a previous guests of the Cultural
See,
Hall.
What we're gonna, we need to have like an all-star Cultural Hall show. All our previous guests.
Okay.
An alumni show. I like it.
Yeah. Your wife is a party planner, right? We should get her on top of it. Done. Yeah. Wife of the party?
Yep.
Check.
Check, she says.
From the couch. If you heard the 13-year-old boy in the background, that was the wife of the... Just teasing. Get better. Get better. Let's take a break for a second. We'll come back. You're going to actually play a little piano for us?
Yes.
That's awesome. And then we'll talk a little bit about more about your future and how people can help support you. We'll get that back in the second half of the Cultural Hall.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hi, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City. Many of our customers are computer experts with decades of experience that are so smart they know how to build their own computers with their own bare hands. Yet they buy their computers from PC Laptops because of one thing: the PC Laptops desktop lifetime parts and labor warranty. If a video card blows up, normally you'd have to mail it to Chumbawamba for weeks to get service. Imagine having your computer down for weeks. Experts buy from PC Laptops because time is money. And if you have a part fail on your PC Laptops desktop, we will replace it forever for free. Get a brand new PC Laptops desktop for just $7.99 with a lifetime warranty at any PC Laptops locations. While supplies last, $7.99, you can't beat that deal. Please visit us at any one of our locations right now. Call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. Desktop computers with a lifetime warranty for just $7.99.
All right, we're back in the second half of the Cultural Hall and visiting with Jason Lyle Black. I really want to just call you Jason, and I think even as we become best friends, which we undoubtedly will, I'm going to have a hard time not calling you Jason Lyle Black.
Because
it just is. Yeah. It's either stage performing or murderers that you have to say all three names. Because if you're an apostle, you get the abbreviated. You would be J. Lyle Black.
J. Lyle Black. Actually, Steve Solberg introduced me as J. Lyle Black for that reason.
It's your apostolic name. Like, you would be... you've got too many.
Yeah,
you've got four names.
Robert S.B. Ferret.
Yeah.
S.B. Ferret. That sounds like an actor.
Yeah, it's too much. Yeah. It's too much. You'd have to drop one of your names.
It'd be R. Spencer Ferret.
That's a general authority. It's a Spencer. Spencer W. Kimball now. Yeah. No, that works.
That's who I was named after.
And I would be R. Thomas Stedman. Yeah. That's my apostolic. Because otherwise it's Richard T. Stedman, and it's not quite polished enough.
Yeah.
Jason Lyle Black is who we're talking about, though. Coming up, we're going to tell you about how you can actually...
see him.
See him and also be able to have some of his music in your home. So stick around for that. But we very crudely took a piano that the wife of the party got... on discount, and we're here in the living room? Or is this the parlor of the house of the party, and we've connected the microphone, and we have this keyboard here. I'm going to do a video of this so you can actually see it.
But before we get into it, I wanted to ask him, where does your training come from? When did you start playing the piano?
Yeah, so I've played for just over 20 years. My training... almost 21 now, I guess. My training was all classical on the piano. So okay. I studied all growing up, all through high school.
When did you start, though? As a child?
I was eight when I started. Yeah. And then I did, you know, the concerto competitions and the, you know, the juries in high school, those kinds of things.
Okay.
And then, but that was basically it. And then since that time, it's more been through mentors and kind of studying what other people do. So, you know, I studied from a composition standpoint. I mean, I studied a lot of people. Mack Wilberg, I've studied his
style. Who is the
style.
Conductor of the
Tabernacle Choir? John Williams, Hans Zimmer, you know, John Schmidt, Paul Cardall. Obviously, paid attention to a lot of them. From a comedic standpoint, you know, my first kind of exposure to that was some of the bits that John Schmidt would do in his shows. Yeah. And I started doing parodies around the time that I first actually met him. I originally had a parody act of John and actually did that in his shows a couple times. So
nice.
That's how I first got to know the piano guys. But then Jason Hewlett's been a big mentor to me from a comedy standpoint. And I mean, those two are probably some of the bigger kind of comedic mentors, but...
Cool. Very, very cool. So what are you going to play? What's the first one you're going to play for us?
So this was one of the first vocal parodies that I wrote. And I used to be in this comedy group down at BYU. And we would go to these shows and I would take requests for people to put two songs together on the spot. And so this song, somebody asked me to put Haven't Met You Yet from Michael Bublé and with I Love to See the Temple. Now, keep in mind, this was when Haven't Met You Yet was like a big radio hit.
Sure.
You know? And so it was awesome. It was literally on the fly. And then I later wrote these words. So here you go. I call it the Creeper song because that's what you get down at BYU. I'm not surprised, they don't all work out. There's so many dates that I stopped taking girls out. I thought that instead, I'd just get to the point and tell her to start with it, we should be joined. The hard thing that I hate to remember is even though she knows I'm a good member, she wants to take it way too slow for me. I love to see the temple, I'll go with you someday. To kiss you at the altar, to look at you and say, well, I know I haven't known you long, but baby, don't you worry. You were meant for me, I know that's true. I just haven't met you yet.
Yeah, I like it.
Perfect. That's cool. That's fun. So give me the background again, because I think I missed it. So you're out doing a show, and they said, just mash up the two songs. So just musically, you mashed up the two
very
songs.
The first time I performed this, it was just the music.
Okay.
So that's how I started. I didn't start doing vocal comedy until about 4 years ago. And so this was, I think, 6 years ago or something, when I first did this song.
Cool.
And I was doing, you know, mashups of two similar songs and two songs that didn't belong together and kind of doing the irony of combining them. And so somebody in the show was like, you should do... I Love to See the Temple with, and they named some other song, and I didn't know the other song because I took live requests. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't know that song. I was like, what should I do it with? Somebody else in the back calls out, Haven't Met You Yet, and the room just like roared because this idea of I Love to See the Temple and Haven't Met You Yet down at BYU is just
makes total
irony.
Sense. Yeah,
and so I made that mashup on the spot, and then it was about a year later, I think, that I added the words. I was like, this needs words.
Yeah,
so I wrote the kind of adaptation.
That's awesome. That's really great. And it was really funny too. And I appreciate you playing up for the camera. You'll be able to see that video.
Yeah.
Will you do one more?
Sure.
One more humorous one. I'll film it.
I'll do this one. I've got one verse of this one. So you guys get to hear, this was a concept that I may write more on this summer, but this is fun. So this one is, John Legend, and this is, the, you know, Comic-Con parody, if you will. Wizarding robes and a Nimbus broom, my Hogwarts dream girl, my beautiful you, my Quidditch hero. Did you know I left Hufflepuff for you? But what would I do without my Polyjuice? You'd see that I'm not quite the wizard you knew, but I stay spellbound. You melt my heart down, 'cause I realize that Snape ain't got nothing on your deep black eyes. And Luna's crazy and I'm almost out of my mind, but all of me loves all of you.
Love your potions and inventions, all your half-blood imperfections. Give your wand to me, I'll cast a spell on you. You're my Gryffindor obsession and my Dementor suppression. Expecto Patronum, you're here at my side, apparating into my life.
That's verse one.
Yeah.
I've read verse two.
I like
yet.
It. I like it.
That's great.
Hogwarts meets John Legend.
Very cool. We need to make a video out of that.
I think we just did.
You guys will actually be the first ones to share that on video, too, because I did a couple of those last year, and KSL shared my Shut Up and Duel with Me, but I never recorded the All of Me one. So that's,
very cool.
For the Cultural Hall.
Look at that. A gift from Jason Lyle Black to the Cultural Hall.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Do we want to bring his microphone back over and talk to him a little bit?
Sure,
or
sure.
Do you want to play? I was trying to rack my brain. I was trying to think of a funny mashup so I could just put you on the spot of two different songs.
Well, yeah,
right,
like
now.
like a hymn song.
Yeah, like a hymn and something else, like a popular song and a hymn. Let's see.
I did a mashup yesterday.
Oh yeah,
but it was terrible.
No,
what was it? Follow the Prophet.
Yeah. Were you guys in the primary? I had to
primary. We were teaching Sunday school, and I had Follow the Prophet. Yeah, there you go.
I did. I did one of the this. So this was Set Fire to the Rain, which you do after the verse about Elijah and the priests of Baal.
Yeah.
With Follow the Prophet, you know, Elijah was a prophet, fought the priests of Baal. I set fire to the rain. Watch it burn.
That's great.
Perfect. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, going to the
chapel
and I'd
love
to
see
the
temple.
I don't know.
Now we're totally putting him on the spot.
Going to the chapel.
How about Spirit in the Sky and Spirit of God?
You have to give me a couple seconds.
Yeah.
No. Look how we put him on the spot. I'm sorry. There's nothing worse than that as a performer, and so I can empathize where it's like, hey, go. And it's like, come on, give
me
a second.
I do take requests in my live shows, but the way I do it is you text it in, and so I'll get in like 50 requests, and then I'll take, because there's always
you'll take the best ones.
There's always like 10 or 15 that I don't know that come in, but then there's like 30 that I do, and so I'll take those ones, and that's what I make a mashup of in the show.
Okay.
So
do you have a favorite?
That's my little strategy.
Do you have a favorite of all the things that you've ever mashed up? Play a little sample of?
Oh, man.
And then we'll let you come back to the table and
actually,
we can talk about.
This is another. I'll give it. This is another Cultural Hall exclusive.
Wait. Then let me get the camera ready. If this is an exclusive thing.
So this
Cultural
is
Hall exclusive.
So coming in my newest routine that I am almost done with, my newest musical comedy routine, is called Mood Killers. And it's about times when you want to change the mood. And I was inspired by this because I have this thing about wedding pianists first and how to set the mood the right way. So anyway, let's say that you're you're doing the Sunday school program, you know, in the nativity, but you're just not, you know, too excited about having to be there. So you remember this song, What Child Is This? You know, sorry, playing without a pedal. Picture, you know, at the stable as Mary and Joseph, you know, are there with the manger, and you have suddenly Professor McGonagall, the little cat, slinks by outside.
And the baby in the manger has a scar on his forehead.
Yeah, and the irony is so delicious, and I hopefully will not be, you know, struck by lightning for writing this one, but this is going to be part of my Christmas show next year, and then I'm also going to use it in my Mood Killers routine that I'm working on, because it just totally changes this nice little, you know, manger scene, and you get a little Harry Potter come in.
I love it.
Just remember, it's not sacrilegious, it's sacrilicious.
That's right.
Let's bring it back over. You want to take his mic and bring it over here? So all sorts of things with your music and coming around. Let's talk about you. Are you married?
I am not.
Are you trying to be? Or are you saying, hey, you know what, I'm really focusing on this?
No, I've actually, I've been dating quite a bit. It's funny, too. I get a lot of blind date
I would bet. I would bet where it's like, oh, Jason. Oh, this guy, Jason. He's really cute. He's LDS and he's single. And then quickly it becomes, guys.
In fact, in the last week, I think I had three or four.
Oh no,
messages. So
messages.
Well, hey, you're gonna go on the blind date with this person, and
oh, so people are setting you up constantly.
Yeah, but it's funny, and obviously, right now with the album release, you know, things are very busy. But yeah, I have been, you know, dating off and on quite a bit in the last little
miserable,
while,
so. Huh?
You know, it's yeah. Nobody, I don't think anyone really loves dating. I mean, maybe some people do, but it's no. I'm definitely, you know, in the active in that scene. So.
Is it difficult where with performing to be like, hey, yeah. So normal people would go out on the weekends or at nighttime, but you've
actually,
got me
you
for
free,
lunch.
It gives you free dates to go to because you don't have to pay to go to your own show. So. It's kind of good in that respect.
You sit here, and I'll come talk to you afterwards.
Enjoy.
I took a date to a gig that President Uchtdorf was being honored at, actually, and the guy that had brought me in for the had been in the high council of my ward, and he was, you know, knew the Uchtdorfs and knew. I mean, he was one of the people in charge of this event, but he straight up called me out in front of 500 people at the Little America Hotel. And my date, it was the first date.
Oh,
and
gosh.
He was like, you know, Jason, you better end up getting married, you know, to this girl or something. It was funny. I mean, seriously, everybody, you know, Zions Bank, there were all these companies there, and he actually gave me a shout out because it was a gig, you know, I'd performed for this audience. It was pretty funny. We ended up, she gave me the Just Friends, you know,
oh,
a few dates later. So,
come on, you gave her, you know, President Uchtdorf.
Yeah, I mean, that was a premium date opportunity. Yeah, you know?
I know, seriously.
I mean, you get a couple of those. I've gotten to play for the Brethren a few times, and, you know, that's the best date of the year. I have a Christmas date, usually get to play for them in the last couple of years, so, you know.
Wow, those are pretty cool gigs. Who else have you played in front of that of note?
You said you've been on Ellen, right?
Yeah, so played on the Ellen show a few years ago. That was awesome. But yeah, probably the Ellen, and then in terms of definitely with the LDS audience, I got to play for the dinner of the First Presidency and Quorum of the Twelve on a couple occasions, play Christmas music for them. So that's
cool.
Been a lot of fun. Pretty cool.
Did you actually perform for them, or was it background?
It was
music?
Prelude music for their meeting. Yeah, it wasn't.
Very cool.
They weren't requests. They're like,
yeah.
Mash up for me.
Yeah. Mash up Michael Jackson with Praise to the Man, which is actually what I've done.
Speaking of preludes.
I would love to, though.
Oh, you want to get right into it?
Yeah.
All right. We mentioned that there would be a way that you can be able to pick up music from Jason Lyle Black, and there will be a place and an opportunity for you to be able to see him as well. But let's talk about the CD first. I hold it in my hand. It's unopened because you brought it today, but it will shortly be opened and then placed in my car so I can listen to it. It is called Piano Preludes. Creative title. Jason Lyle
Don't
Black.
Don't think too hard about what's
no,
in that.
Yeah. I wonder what this is.
Yeah.
Does anybody know? Is this? Oh, it's Preludes on the piano. Tell us a little bit about this album.
So it's an awesome album. This is my most artistic work to date. You've heard, you know, kind of the comedic thing, which is what a lot of people know me for, and that is very characteristic of my stage show. But this is the. You know, this is the great music for falling asleep at night, for when you've had a long day, you need something to relax to, when you're studying your scriptures, when you're studying for the MCAT, you know, whatever. It's just, it's very peaceful music. And I got to work with Paul Cardall on this. Paul is awesome. Paul's a, you know,
previous
producer,
guest of the Cultural Hall.
Yeah. Very, very well known to the LDS audience. And Paul's, you know, award-winning artist. He's charted on Billboard numerous times. And he's a Steinway concert artist. So, I mean, his credentials in the music industry are huge. And so I actually signed to his label. Stone Angel Music is the record label of Paul. It's also Stephen Sharp Nelson of the Piano Guys. His solo works have been put out through Stone Angel. So really cool to get to work with them. And Paul kind of really helped shape the creative direction of the album. So it's all pieces that I wrote. And then we also worked with Marshall McDonald on it. So I wrote the piano, all the pieces, and I wrote the string solos. And then Marshall McDonald created beautiful backup strings. And Marshall's maybe not a name everyone knows, although some of the music scene will know him, but he actually has written a lot of music for Tabernacle Choir, for the Orchestra Temple Square, for David Archuleta. He's a big behind-the-scenes guy on a lot of those projects. So really cool album. Champs-Élysées on there is the song that we got to do with Jenny Oakes Baker. It was really fun to work with Jenny, have her on the album, and she and I have a music video that's coming out. And so,
a music video to that song?
To that song, okay. Yeah. In fact, people will be able to go listen to that video now on YouTube. And that's coming out. I did did a video with the Piano Gal. So from my Frozen video, she's featured on the album. My friend
in a
Austin
song called
Packer.
Springtime.
Yeah, and then Springtime with her, we have a video of. Anyway, got more videos planned. So over the next year, I'm going to be releasing other videos from this album. Evening Prayer is one that I'm really excited for. It's a very spiritual song, and kind of on a spiritual note, actually, that song. You know, sometimes for me as a composer, I write a song and I don't necessarily have the message in mind when I write it. Mm-hmm. But then after I start listening to it, that's when the message comes in. And it's interesting. And so for me, Soldier's Prayer, you know, really reminds me of my grandpa. And that, you know, he passed away last year. He was 92. He's lived a wonderful life. But he had been in World War II. And so that song kind of really reminds me of him. And then Evening Prayer is kind of a more somber song. I think it's really beautiful, though. And I think about my sister. So my oldest sister actually passed away from cancer. And I think about her with that song because she was very, you know, very faithful and didn't really waver in her faith, even as, you know, these terrible things happened. She spent about 5 years, you know, with fighting cancer. And so anyway, that song has kind of come to take on now meaning about her. And in fact, I'm planning to try to tell her story a little bit through the music video that we'll be releasing later this summer. And again, Paul, it's so fun to work with him on these things because he has that, you know, spiritual desire to reach people. Mm-hmm. And he reaches people, an LDS audience, but he reaches people all over the world. The Middle East people love his music. Obviously, you know, not LDS area. They love his music because it just touches the heart. So
what I like about this is in my house, we do the music on Sunday morning to kind of set the mood. And that seems like I've now got a new CD for playing in the house to set the mood on Sunday morning. And absolutely, like you said, there's other times to be able to kind of unplug and disconnect from everything terrible and just be like, okay.
It's good because, like, for me, I have a hard time listening to music if I'm trying to study or, like, focus on something. But this album, I can because it's just more, it sets the mood. It doesn't, like, call attention to itself. It's more, it just, like, kind of reaches you at, like, a subconscious level when you listen to it, if that makes sense. And I really like that. And again, falling asleep at night or, you know, help kids fall asleep, but definitely it's great, great Sunday music too. And in fact, it just debuted on Soft Sunday Sounds too this week.
Ooh, so nice. Soft Sunday Sounds.
Excited to hear that.
Right after the Mom Show.
Yeah.
it's called Piano Preludes and it's by Jason Lyle Black. Can you get it on iTunes?
Yes. So
all the typical
iTunes,
places?
On iTunes now and Amazon, be on Pandora Radio and Spotify Radio. It's, you know,
can
Deseret
you buy
Book
it
stores.
You can buy it in the Deseret Book.
Yeah. In fact, I'm doing a bunch of signings there and we're excited to have it at Deseret Book too.
And by that he means so, getting phone numbers for a lot of awkward first dates, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
There you go.
That's why we do it. That's why Paul scheduled him for me. It's part of the artist development marriage program the label
well,
does.
Well, it's going to take your music to a whole new level.
That's right.
There's got to be that depth, right?
That's right.
I don't know.
And that's fun that you got to perform with Jenny Oakes.
Oh, yeah. Jenny's great. And I actually, as I mentioned, I've got a little video in the works, a kind of secret video planned for later this year that would be with Jenny. And so we're very excited to partner up on that. So
This is certainly a ways in advance, but because we're talking to you here today and we'll share this in the future as well as it gets closer. And by that, I mean Rob will, because I'll forget because I'm terrible.
Yeah,
so
no,
this
I won't
is your
forget.
Responsibility.
Yeah, I got this. I got this.
You're doing a show in Utah at the Sandy Amphitheater. And is this going to be your comedy or is this going to be straight serious, Jason?
No, this is the Backwards Piano Man show. So that means it's stage piano and musical comedy. It's a mixable. So I'll probably play a couple songs from the album, you know, when we kind of quiet down the mood there, but a lot of it'll be a very upbeat. We're going to do a lot of Disney stuff. So
yeah,
I kind of have a reputation for the Disney music now. And I pulled in Logan Shelton from Vocal Point for this show.
Okay.
Cool.
So people that have seen Vocal Point's videos, he was the soloist in their Silent Night video. And
okay.
Just awesome. So he's going to be joining me, and then I've got the Piano Gal from my Frozen video. So it's going to be really fun, really high energy. This is my debut show at Sandy. So I've played in John Schmidt's shows there before, and some others. But this is my.
It's just him alone.
This is
but
my
headlining.
Headline.
It's make it or break it.
Not alone.
Yeah. You may never come back to Sandy.
This is a big deal.
Dust your feet of the city and be like, nope, I'm not coming back if this doesn't go well. No.
Well, and Sandy, I mean, this is. You know, it's pretty cool to look who I'm on the lineup with, because this is, you know, Alex Boyer, Philip Phillips, the Commodores, David Archuleta. You know, these are all very big national, you know, touring shows. And so it's fun to be on that lineup with them. And it's a Wednesday night, but it's a free show. Families, you can come bring blankets. And again, it's going to be, I'll do the Wedding Pianist, you know, I'll be doing my Mood Killers, you know, those stand-up routines. We'll be playing a lot of Disney songs. I'll take requests. People can text it in.
Family friendly, I'm assuming.
Totally. Family, it's a family show. It's great. very family friendly and very fun. So I might, you know, I'll do some backwards playing.
A couple hours?
All that stuff. It'll actually just be just over an hour. I think they typically, this is a, they call it their community free-for-all night. So it's actually a sponsored show by the city. So it's free to the community. So yeah, I think it'll be about an hour, hour and a half.
Cool.
Show. So people can put that on their calendar now, though. It will for sure be Wednesday, July 6th at 8 p.m. at the Sandy Amphitheater. Sorry, lifers and converts that live out of the state of Utah. He's not coming there yet, but he will.
Yes.
And you can pick up his music right now on iTunes.
Well, and for listeners that are in California, I have a big show every Christmas in Oakland at the Temple.
Oh.
And that is such a fun show. This is its fourth year now.
Oh.
And I also have musical guests for that show. Last year, they sold out the tickets about a week before. So we had, you know, over 1,300 there. It was an awesome, awesome show.
That's a pretty cool gig.
And I actually have a musical puppet that joins me on stage for that
really?
Show.
Oh, really? Yeah,
his name's Rudolph. He's my Christmas reindeer puppet that plays the piano with me.
Oh, cool.
So it's pretty fun. That's a good show.
Rob's
so, yeah,
putting it in his calendar right now.
That day
go to
right
Oakland.
Now. But it should be the Sunday before Christmas. Yeah.
Well, when I think of puppet, I thought you maybe had a puppet of yourself.
No, he's a little reindeer puppet that joins me and plays piano backwards with me. And it's pretty cool. It's a new shtick. I just added it last year. There's no holes in the puppet, so I actually play through a sock.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there are no holes. I'm not going to mess around. This is real.
Yeah, this is legitimate. This is real puppet playing piano. Yep. That's a fun thing to say. Puppet piano playing. Puppet piano. Forget it. Jason, there's three questions that we ask everyone who steps into the Cultural Hall, and we want to ask those of you now. The first question is do you have a calling, and if so, what is it?
Yeah, so I'm a communications chair for the ward, and so I do the bulletin on Sundays.
Sweet.
Pretty exciting. I also play organ often for our state conference. It's not a calling, but I've played the last three or four state conferences.
So it's basically like a calling. They're like, we're not going to make it official because we just know he'll do it, but Jason's going to play the organ. Hey, look, I did it. I said just Jason.
Should we tell people what ward you're in? Just kidding.
No. Yeah. If you're looking to be an awkward first date of Jason, no. The second question that we ask everyone is, if you could pick a calling, either one that exists or make one up, what would you pick?
If I could make up a calling.
It could even be like...
Don't give him ideas. You let him pick his own calling. Right. But it can be something that exists that maybe you had in the past and you're like,
one of the callings I've loved, it's such a busy calling, but I've been executive secretary a couple times in the singles ward. And that's just fun because you get to know everybody. And it's funny because I've been in my ward now for 2 years, you know, since I was last secretary. And it's like, you just don't know as many people. And I like to know folks in the ward. And so that's been the calling I've had the most fun with. And yeah, I've had some good times as choir pianist. That's one of those callings I've had a lot. And so, you know, sometimes it's nice to have a break.
I'm like, a pianist. Right, cool. Okay.
We had, you know, one of my wards at BYU, the choir director was pretty supportive of my my alternate music side. And so we would have in choir practices where we would sing out of the hymn book, but in between, we would do Viva La Vida from Coldplay and One Republic songs. And it was woven straight. So it was like a hymn singing, but we went straight from the hymns over to the, you know, radio hits and back to the hymns during choir practice.
Awesome.
So it was fun. That was a fun ward. That was some of my friends down at BYU. So.
Perfect.
And then the final question that we ask everyone is, what is your favorite part of your faith?
Oh, it's deep. I like it. You know, I think it's the plan of salvation and having understanding of the purpose of life, because, you know, I love what I do. I'm very, very passionate, very driven about my career, and I love what's happening, but it would not have the same level of meaning to me if I thought things were just, you know, for this life only. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's it. The knowledge of life after death, the plan of salvation, and kind of the eternal nature of the life that we have here. That's, I think, the most important thing to me.
Cool. So. You can find you online, right? I'm assuming you got the YouTube channels and the... Yes.
Do you have an actual website?
Yeah, so jasonlyleblack.com is my website.
Perfect.
Jason Lyle Black.
Not hyphenated.
That's my thing on... Yeah, no hyphens or anything. That's me on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. I also have a text thing, actually. So if people text my middle name, so that's Lyle, L-Y-L-E. And if they text that to 444-999, then they can sign up and they'll find out when I have shows, you know, and they'll get texts about that and email and stuff too.
So, for real?
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And they can get, I do like, you know, offers for my CDs, you know, special offers and stuff through those things as well. So yeah, I've got, find me on all of the interwebs, you know, Jason Lyle Black. And then, yeah, if you text my middle name, Lyle, too.
I'm going to send you a picture. Yeah. I know that's not how it works. I'm just teasing.
Yep.
Lyle to 444999.
Yep. Works okay. In the U.S. and Canada. So
cool.
Yep.
Sweet.
Well, we hope this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope if you are sick or afflicted that you'll be able to join us next week.
And that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat. On the back row, we read.